brothers at our sister church, or our church actually in Cerritos. And so basically those two mostly knocked this out yesterday. So if you see them, please thank them. I don't know about you, but when I smell, oh, there he is. Thanks, Joel, for putting all this up. So. But and Mike, we'll definitely have to somehow thank him for all the work that he's done. I don't know about you guys, but for guys, like, when I smell, like, lumber like this, I go, yes, you know, power tools and things like that. It's just like, it makes me happy. But anyway, actually, I think it reminds me of mission trips when we built houses in Mexico and things like that. So I love the smell of this. But, you know, as we all come together, we're hoping that by the time we get to the church beautification day, that all of us can participate in putting pieces of wood on here. And it's not just to make things look nice. Hopefully that will happen. I'm sure it will. But, you know, one thing that will happen is that the cross will be just right here in the middle. And the idea is, like, it's going to be like an illuminated thing that kind of pops out. It's hard to explain. I wish I had a picture. But anyway, it will look really cool. And it will make the cross very central to our worship and everything that we do. So this, I see this as an act of worship, okay? Putting this together is an act of worship. It's a way for us to, an expression of our desire to meet God here, an expression of our desire to worship him. And, like, everything about it, the more I think about it, can be very symbolic. Even all this wood, and we're going to be nailing them, you know, there. And it just reminds us of the cross and what Jesus did for us and the reason why we worship. And I think the cool thing, too, is that if all of us are part of this, you know, every Sunday when we come here, we go, oh, you know what, I had a piece of this. Like, this was a community project, an expression of our worship together, coming together and bringing glory to God. And so so please help with this. In the afternoon, we do have a worship workshop, so a lot of us can't be part of it, but if you can stick around, we have some demolition to do. We need to pull some pallets apart and get the wood, and then we're going to start staining them and torching them, making them look kind of antique-y and stuff like that. It'll be really cool. But the torching and staining is not today. Today is more just demolition, okay? So if you can stay for that, please stay after lunch. I think that's all I really want to say about this. So right now, I wanted to welcome up a gentleman who is a very important part of our church. I would assume that he feels like this place has been a blessing to him. But when him and Kristen came, I already said their names. Okay, Desmond and Kristen came. They blessed our church tremendously, and they started helping with the Young Adults Fellowship, and they also helped with AV and everything, and brought some order to some chaos. And so, really blessed to have these guys. And so, this morning we want to welcome up Desmond. So, if you guys can.
I got this one. Yeah. Thanks. I'm nervous enough. It's all good. It's all good. Well, hi. My name's Desmond. And actually, this month would be my one-year anniversary of being at this church. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a great time. I was asked to share about how this community has impacted me. But when I see myself every day, it's hard to notice the subtle differences that I go through. So I decided I'm not going to answer that question. So what I am going to answer is, I decided to talk about is what I appreciate about being in this community. And there's about five things I noticed that came to mind. The first one is I appreciate your caring nature. I noticed how we pray for each other after service. And some of you have opened up your homes and your hearts to me when I'm struggling with life struggles. And I can see how we take care of each other when troubles occur. I appreciate our warm and welcoming nature, spirit. And this is just one of the things that caught my eye when I first got here, just our willingness to embrace newcomers like myself and and other people that have come in this past year. I appreciate our generosity, whether it's just giving rides to people, paying for meals, giving time and expertise. I see daily a giant stuffed panda that you guys gave my girlfriend in my living room, so I'm constantly reminded of that. To me, these things I see as a glimpse of how people who lived in the Acts Church did community. I appreciate the chance to live life together. I enjoy the times when we spend outside of church programming. Simple things like cooking together, driving out to Monterey Park early on Saturday mornings for breakfast, going to prayer meetings. And these aren't just things that the young adults are doing, but I see adults in our midst too. I appreciate so many of us serving together. Just remember last month when Pastor Joe and Chrissy called each person that's serving here. And remember how like we had more people up here than people who were still sitting. That was a major encouragement to me, just seeing how many people were serving together. It's not just like five people serving, but it was like the entire congregation doing something for this community. Each of these small connections on their own may seem small and insignificant, but just to me, like a growing collection of these connections is what I feel Proverbs 27:17 is talking about. As iron sharpens iron, as one person sharpens another, little by little, as we spend time in community, you point me to be more like Christ, and I point you to be more like Christ. A little pressure, a little polish, a little smoothing out of rough edges, and we come more like a work of art that our master will be more proud of. So in response to how community has impacted me, I lay down this challenge. In a year from now, maybe this community could tell me how I've been impacted, how I've changed. I'm a young adult in this congregation, and I thank you for being so welcoming and for allowing me to serve and be a part of this community. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Thanks for sharing, Desmond. It's definitely been a blessing to have you here. So thank you for being part of our community. Well, as you guys can kind of tell, we are going through a series right now, which we call Welcome. And basically, it's a series on fellowship. And if you guys were here for January, we had a vision month where we shared four purposes, four goals that we want to really do right in our church this year. And right now we're on the idea of fellowship, right? And last week we talked a little bit about the biblical basis of fellowship. Why do we do it? And the Bible talks a lot about fellowship and community. And one of the things that we reflected on was this idea that God is a triune God. In other words, that God is a God that exists in a divine community. And when he created us, that whole idea of God being triune was accented, and he said, let us make man in our image. And from there, basically, this whole idea, when God created us, and he made us in his image, then he created us also for community. That we were not meant to be, you know, these little, you know, islands to ourselves. We are to be people that are in community. God connects us to each other. And in fact, that the pursuit of community is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of maturity. To desire to be in a community, to desire to be in a to live out God's calling to be a loving people, a forgiving people, a giving people, a generous people, all those things are part of our humanity and what God has created us to be and to be part of. And so community is a sign of maturity. And so we talked about some of the obstacles and all those things, but today I wanted us to focus on a different aspect of community. I wanted us to take a look at what community looks like in the Bible. You know, there's a lot of different communities around. I remember looking up some really interesting communities on different college campuses. there are like, there's like this mustache community, you know, so people that like have, I even saw one at Biola. There's a club just for people with mustaches, you know, and I think you can draw one on your finger if you don't have one and join it or something like that. They have a tiddlywink. Do you guys have have any idea what tiddlywink is? There's a tiddlywink club, and it was like in Princeton or something like that, some Ivy League school. I was like, really? There's a club that was like people watching club. They just go out together and watch people. You know, it's kind of really creepy. I know. At least they're not. I don't think they're in bushes or anything, but they just like to watch people. I guess they find that entertaining. So, you know, there's all these different communities, but the Bible calls us to a community. And, well, you know, it's kind of interesting. Something happened recently during the Oscars. Did you guys see what was the most retweeted picture? There was a selfie. You guys know what selfies are? Okay, a selfie is kind of, you guys know what Instagram is? Okay, so I knew this was going to happen because there's this generation gap. But it's okay, we can do this. But Instagram is just a social media thing where you just share your pictures. And it's kind of a big thing now. People like to take pictures of themselves and post it, right? And that's called a selfie, okay? Oh, okay, now you know. Okay, so he's just messing with me. But anyway, so the next thing that happened was Ellen DeGeneres was the host of the Oscars, and she decided to do a group selfie. And so here she is with all these, you know, big name celebrities. And I guess now they're recalling it. Is it have a new name? Have you heard the word groupie? Okay, so theoretically, okay, so selfies that are groupies or whatever, and you see Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie is in the corner, and Eric Lee, you can see a little bit back there. But anyway, no, just kidding. But, and so there's, you know, but no, he wasn't there, so he should be there, though. But anyway, so Ellen, but this apparently became the most retweeted picture on Twitter for a long time, and so this became really, really popular. And what happened was there's this whole, like, trend that started. Everyone started taking selfie groupies, right? And so they take pictures of the people that they work with, the people that they go to school with. And, you know, it's just like this way of thinking and celebrating about the people that are in our lives. And this morning, I wanted us to take a selfie groupie, a groupie selfie of the church, okay? To think about our church, okay? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorite pictures. It's a really good-looking guy there on the right who's like this. I know. He's not in a good mood. But anyway, this isn't really a selfie, but what I want us to think about is this idea of what does the church look like? If we were to take a snapshot of the church that God wanted, okay, and the church that God outlined in scriptures, what would that look like? And then how would you appear in that picture? You know, like, are you in this picture kind of thing, you know? Eric Lee is actually in this picture. If you see the fist up there like that, that's Eric Lee. So he's actually back there. So anyway, but this whole idea. Now, so I want us to think of this idea of, like, where are you in the snapshot of community that God has, you know, painted in scriptures. And we're going to go through Acts, and we're going to look at how's the Bible paint a picture of community? And so this idea of fellowship, now, I looked at a bunch of different Greek dictionaries. Basically, the word that is most often used with fellowship is this idea called koinonia. And there's two main definitions for the idea of koinonia. And the first one is a relationship characterized by sharing something or someone in common. Okay? So sharing things in common. And the second thing is giving so that others can share. So it's this idea of generosity. So koinonia is all about sharing what we have in common and sharing with other people what we have. And so if you guys flip to your front of your bulletins, see, koinonia, you see the hashtag, which has made, you know, pastor, you know, really hip. You guys share in, right? Share with, share out. Okay, today we're going to talk about share in and share with. And basically the idea of koinonia is exactly that. It's this idea of sharing in and sharing with, and actually sharing out, which we will talk about next week, okay? But today we're going to focus on sharing in and sharing with. And as we do that, we like to read scripture together. So if you guys could all stand, and we're going to read through the passages this morning in Acts 2, verse 40. All right, here we go. Let's read this. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. You guys can be seated. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we think about this idea of community, I pray that we look at this picture of the New Testament people, and we see just how amazing that community was, how amazing it would have been to be part of something that exciting and that powerful. But God, we pray that that would be, that picture would be our self-portrait too. Lord, we pray that you would bind us together in one heart, and Lord, that you would teach us how to share in and to share with. So Lord, this morning, we give our hearts to you and ask that you speak to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are. We have the church in Acts, and this is the very first church. Jesus had just died and resurrected, and he ascended into heaven. And he told the disciples, go and pray, and they were praying in this room. And at that time, the number of Christians was 120 believers. And they were meeting constantly in this room, and they were praying and they were praying until the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in a new way to abide in them and to fill them and to dwell with them and to give them power. And the craziest thing was that what this is the aftermath of the first day of the church when Peter got up there and began to preach the gospel. And he happened to preach on a day when there was a lot of people in town. There was a huge festival, and there's people from all over the place, and Peter got up and preached the gospel, and the first church was born. And on that first day, there were 3,000 new believers. Pretty crazy, huh? Can you think about that? Can you imagine if, you know, 120 is pretty big. It's bigger than us, you know. But can you imagine, like, if we were praying for God to revive this community, and for some reason I decided I wanted to go out there and preach, like, in the middle of downtown Fullerton or something, and, there happened to be 3,000 people there, and they all came to Christ, right? That would be nuts. And then how would we do church at that point? And the crazy thing is we see that as they started to live out community, 2,000 more were added. So in a very short period, the church in Jerusalem went up to 5,000 people. That is nuts. And then we know that it didn't stop there, that the gospel swept through the whole entire Roman Empire. Now that is amazing. Historians look at that, whether or not they're believers or not, they look at that and they scratch their heads and they ask, how in the world did that happen? You know, and there's a lot of different views on that. There's a lot of different things people were writing. Some people said it was because of the community and how powerful it was that it spread so quickly. Some people, I don't know, they come up with a lot of different ideas. But for me, I believe that the only way thousands of people that were socially conditioned to believe a completely different God and all of a sudden, overnight, become believers is because the resurrection actually happened. That Jesus really came, did amazing miracles, that he died and then conquered death, and people saw and they believed. And not only that, that God had sent his Holy Spirit in a new way on the church. And so there was power. There was this amazing explosion. And the church grew quickly in number. The thing that we see in the very beginning is that these people, that as they devoted themselves, as they gathered, so now there's like 3,000, they're coming together, and the first thing they did in verse 42 is they devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. This whole idea of fellowship is doing things together and sharing in one common faith. If you think about it, friendship is always based on some sort of commonality, right? It's not like if I'm friends with Josh or something, like, Josh, let's go out, get some coffee, and stare in each other's eyes and talk about how great each other is, right? We don't do that, right? It's like, I know, it's really creepy, right, and cheesy. But for Josh and I, the first thing time we met was the commonality was our faith. I think right the first time we got coffee, Josh just started sharing all these things about what was going on in his life and how he was hearing from God, and there was instant connection, right? And friendships, like we talked about, like, you know, there's friendships that can be based on sports, right? Laker fans, they cry together this season, right? And so there's mutual sadness. Anyway, but so there's a lot of commonalities that but the thing that binds Christians together is our faith. Is our belief and our trust and our relationship in Jesus. And it's a powerful bonding tool. I would say that it transcends almost all differences. And if you think about it, do you guys remember, if you look at the beginning of chapter 2, who was part of the 3,000 people? Do you guys remember? There were people from all over the place there. If you look at, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. But if you look at verse 9, it says that that day when Peter preached that gospel and 3,000 joined the church, there were Parthians, there were Medes, there were Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jew and Gentiles, Cretans and Arabs. And they all... they all became believers. And so when you think about that first church, what you should think about is diversity. That first church, there were tons of different cultures. And that flies against a lot of different beliefs. People say, oh yeah, religion is there just because, you know, people have similar cultural values and so they like to stick with each other. But no, actually, the very beginning was people from very different cultural backgrounds and values, and they were all bound together because of their common faith in Christ. Now, and that commonality transcends all differences. You know, there are, in this place, Laker fans and Clipper fans. Ooh, right? There are Republicans and Democrats, right? There's people who watch CNN and Fox News, right? There's like different people here, right? And we're all bound together in faith. You know, there was a story that I heard about a pastor who was doing ministry during World War II in London. And of course, there were a lot of soldiers that were stationed there. And people would come in and out of his church. And he would meet them for the first time. And there was one thing that he noted is that when they walked through the door and he met them and maybe even sat down and talked with them, instantly he realized that their mutual relationship with Jesus created a sense that they instantly knew each other. That this commonality that they had in Christ bound them together really quickly. And I'm sure many of us here have experienced that. I remember several years ago, there was a gentleman from Africa who was a missionary there. He grew up in Africa, you know, and there was nothing that we would have in common, you know. His upbringing was totally different. His education was totally different, you know. he ate different foods, and but there was a commonality that we had in Christ that bound us together. And when he began sharing about what God was doing in Africa through him, like, it was just instant brotherhood. Like, I was like, man. And I remember Ryan, who used to be my youth intern back in Cerritos, for, hey, let's go take, I think his name was Hussein, I can't remember, I think it was Hussein, let's go take him out, let's take him to Disneyland. He's never seen Disneyland, he's from Africa, right? So we took him to Disneyland, and we just had a blast with him, and we bought a turkey leg for him. He's like, yes, you know, and he's like, after we ate it, he's all, that cured my obsession for meat, but he was kind of grossed out. But you know, there was something about that, it was like, I thought about that, and in that moment, I was like, I relate to this guy. Even though there's so many things that we do not have in common, but I would rather sit here and talk to him and hear about his faith and what he's going through than hanging out with somebody that is from my background or even my education or whatever, but doesn't know the Lord. There is a oneness with people that are brothers and sisters in Christ that if we share that relationship, that there's this oneness that is very real, is very bonding, and it transcends all our differences. And that was what was happening. When Jesus died and resurrected, the people were celebrating that. They had to get with other people and celebrate that. It wasn't one of those things where they were like, oh, Jesus conquered the grave. He's forgiven all my sins. Let's meet every once in a while on Sundays and sing some songs together and then go home and don't see each other again. You know, that's not what they decided to do. They just could not stop meeting together. And it says that they were devoted, and this was not like a rule or a law that was imposed on them. No one told them, the apostles did not go up to them and said, you need to eat together every day. He didn't do that. They couldn't stop them from doing it. They voluntarily decided, hey, let's hang out everywhere and every day, right? All the time. But you know what sets apart? You know, fellowship, I think a lot of times can be thrown around pretty loosely. And there is an element to fellowship where we just hang out. But really, what fellowship really boils down to is this, when we share what we have in common in our faith. You know, and it says that they were not only devoted to fellowship, but if you guys look at the first verse, it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, right? What is that? Well, today we don't have the apostles with us. Today we have the New Testament. We have the Gospels. We have what the apostles passed on to us. In a sense, what they were doing was they were having Bible studies. We're focusing on God's word together. And in our fellowships, that's what we need to be doing for it to be fellowship. And I've been to a lot of different kinds of fellowships. I've led a lot of different kinds of fellowships and different people in them. And I've noticed there's ways you can read scripture together that's very lifeless. Sometimes you can read it just for information. People don't want to open up. They don't want to be real. They don't want scripture to confront them. So they stay in this mode of just intellectual stuff. Like, what do you know about the Bible? And I've been in Bible studies where it becomes debates or who knows more than the other person. And that stuff is gross. I hate leading those, right? But when people come with an attitude of openness to God's word, and there's one thing that when you read the Bible together, you might study it, but what the Bible ends up doing is it starts studying you, okay? That the Bible starts talking to you and starts looking into your life. And when people come with open hearts, we start sharing our struggles. We start sharing our experiences. We start sharing the things that we love about God's word or things that God's word challenges us to do. And you know, even just in our college fellowship, we meet on Thursdays, and I love that group. And I like our Bible studies. I don't know if people are falling asleep or not, but I love those things. I especially love it when people read God's word and they start sharing stories. they start sharing experiences. You know, this past week, and I'm not going to, like, you know, share anything that people shared. We talked about, like, I'll speak generally about, we talked about, were there ever moments that you were ashamed of the gospel? Because we're reading about a person in scripture that was kind of ashamed of being seen with Jesus in public. And we started sharing, like, about moments in our lives where people try to make us feel stupid for our faith, or when there were kind of crazy Christians that are making Christians look stupid, you know? And you know, that's just a natural thing. And there's something about it, even though we're just sharing and we're not trying to necessarily fix each other, but there's this camaraderie that comes with, you know what, we all, to some degree, have moments where we suffered, well, we felt, I don't know, suffered, but where it got hard to walk in our faith. And that strengthens us and it encourages us. And there is just this, when we come together humbly before God's word, it binds us together. It also says that they were breaking bread together. Now, it wasn't that they were just eating. There's an article in front of breaking bread, a definite article. It says, the breaking of bread. And so what that was alluding to was not only that they were eating together a lot, but that they were observing communion together. Every day, they were breaking bread. They were remembering what Jesus did for them on the cross. And they're celebrating that together. And in that, what they were really doing was they were worshiping and praising God. They're saying, praise God. He spilled his blood for you and for me. His body was broken. We all are recipients of his grace and mercy. And we celebrate together. You know, C.S. Lewis had this observation where he said that when we delight in things that are beautiful, that delight doesn't come to completion until we share it with somebody else. And maybe an example is like you see a sunset and you just have to say, wow, and you need to grab somebody and say, look at this, this is beautiful. And there's something about when we all look at Jesus and we say, wow, look at him, look how amazing he is, look how he redeemed us, look at the bread and the wine, the body that was broken, the blood that was shed for us. There's this worship that when we come together that is very deep, and it bonds us together. I remember, you know, I'm just using a lot of examples from a college fellowship. Like, I love when we worship together. And I remember one time after the college kids left, Naomi's all like, wow, when you guys sing, you guys are loud. I thought she was, like, upset because our kids are trying to sleep usually around that time. And she's all, that's cool. I said, yes, it is. Indeed, it is. All of us coming together, expressing our love for Christ together. And, you know, they were devoted to prayer. You know, prayer is one of those things. There's so many different facets to prayer and so many reasons to pray. To come to prayer meetings, to lift each other up. And there's something when we gather, one of the things that happens in prayer is that we begin to share our needs, our fears, our worries, our struggles. And what happens a lot of times, and indirectly, is that we are allowed to be vulnerable and weak before each other in prayer. That happens at prayer meetings, that happens at fellowship. A few months ago, fellowship, we just spent 2 weeks taking turns praying for each other and just lifting each other up. And basically in that moment, I think a lot of us realize, you know what, it's okay not to be okay with each other. And it's okay, and that we are here together with each other, and we're bringing God into our fellowship. We're bringing God into our lives together. You know, these new believers, their fellowship, when they were sharing things in common, they were devoted to God's word. They're devoted to breaking of bread, was, you know, worship. They're devoted to prayer. And it was an amazing place to be. An exciting place to be. People were in awe, and they saw miracles, and they were just amazed, and they love spending time together. And I want to ask you guys, is there a group that you are devoted to? Is there a place where you can seek God's word together? Is there a place where you worship together, a place where you pray for one another? And if you don't, that is not God's desire for your life. Fellowship is not an option. Fellowship is assumed. When God calls us into fellowship with him, he calls us into fellowship with his people. And if you are in one of those groups, in a fellowship, then be conscious of building that group. If not only to be part of the group, but to be builders of community. You know, we are running out of time, but we're going to go through the rest of this very quickly. One thing that we want to remember was this, is that the community blessed each other with what they had. They sold their possessions. Now, this was another thing that was not a law, because we find out in chapters following, there was a family that said they sold everything and gave it to the apostles. The apostles knew they were lying, and the apostles said, you didn't have to do this. No one asked you to sell your stuff. You could have kept it, and it would have been yours, and it would have been fine. Like, why are you lying about this? And so this was not a forced communist society, okay? This was people, after they encountered Jesus, and after they knew what they had in common, began to see each other as brothers and sisters. They saw each other as family, and they treated each other as family, and they looked out for each other as family. And if somebody needed something more than me, and I had that thing, it no longer belonged to me. It belonged to that person that needed it more than me. That was the attitude. And it was not just a forced kind of thing. It was definitely just a desire to use all of their resources that God gave them to build the community that God had them to be in. There's a, I'm forgetting this guy's name, but there's a gentleman, a young guy who does a lot of social justice stuff. I forget his name, but he started a community that was very much like this, actually. And it was interesting. He noticed that when everybody didn't own their own washer dryer, one thing that happened was everyone would go to the same place to wash their clothes, and they would hang out. They'd get to know each other. They'd be folding clothes and waiting for their clothes to dry together, and it built community. They shared food together, and it built community. They stopped paying for health insurance. You know what I'm not saying that this is what we need to do, but I'm just letting you know. And what they would do is when someone got sick, they would pull together their money and pay for that person's doctor visit or medicine or procedure. This community, this generosity was something where God reminds us that God gives us our resources not to just spend on ourselves. God gives us resources. He blesses us to bless others. That there's very clear scriptures in Corinthians where it says that when God blesses us with much, that we are to be generous to the people around us. We are blessed to bless others. And, you know, our application is just going to be very, very simple this week. And hopefully we can maybe carry it on this whole month. But my prayer and desire for you as a church and for myself as well is that we be community builders, that every single one of us who are believers, that we are part of the community and that we build the community together. And the one thing that I would encourage us to do is the idea of sharing in is to share meals with each other or coffee once a week. You know, at least once a week, try to build a relationship, initiate a relationship with somebody, take them out for lunch or just get coffee, but talk about real life stuff. You know, for me, I realized when, I'm not sad about this, okay, but I realized that I eat lunch alone a lot, right? It was, oh, I know, I'm sitting alone in this you know, crowded restaurant all by myself, you know, but I wasn't depressed about it. But I realized, like, I'm wasting time here. If I'm going to eat, I might as well eat with somebody, you know? And so one of the things that I try to do is meet with people during my lunch hour. I don't know if you have that flexibility, but just sharing a meal with somebody so that you can start building community. And the next thing is that once a week is to think about how you can share with somebody, is to be a blessing to somebody. How can you tangibly bless somebody, support them? You can maybe support their caffeine addiction when they don't ask. You buy them a coffee or something. You know, I don't know. Someone wrote a little note to Naomi and I this week, and it might have seemed like something very little to them, but you know, it's very touching to Naomi and I, and it lifted our spirits. You know, there's ways that we can even just pray for somebody, ask somebody, how can I pray for you? And the thing is, sometimes I feel like if we don't set any goals, we can just go through life with all our same habits and all our self-centeredness and self-consciousness and all this stuff, and we don't think about other people. And I hope that you guys see that just setting a goal will force you to think, okay, I need to bless. Maybe you want to bless 3 people. I don't know. Maybe you want to bless 5. But look for a way to use your resources to give generously, to bless generously, and to build the community that God has given us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the early church. I thank you that we have a chance to see an amazing community. Father, that as they were sharing in and sharing with each other, people saw that and wanted to be part of that, and people were added to their numbers daily. That in sharing in and sharing with, they were sharing out without even really trying. God, the picture that you've painted for the church to be is a beautiful one. But Lord, one of the things that it requires of us is time. And Lord, a lot of times we feel like we have very little of that. But God, I know that in your word, that if we are to take building community seriously, then we must make time to spend with your people. And in so doing, Lord, we live out your calling in life, and we make your name great. So Lord, we pray that as we go from here, Lord, that we would build your church by loving one another and supporting each other and giving to each other generously. Lord, we thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Cry of my heart.
all stand and sing this together? Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me?
The ushers to come up and let's pray for our offering. Father in heaven, we thank you for this gift of community that you've given us. And Father, we can approach each other only because of your grace. It's the blood of Christ that binds us together. It is this gospel that teaches us that we are not coming to you on our own righteousness, but in our poverty we come to you as beggars and pour out your grace and mercy so freely, and we share in that together. And what an amazing God we worship, amazing God that we serve together. And God, right now as we continue to worship, Lord, we want to worship by giving. And so Lord, may you use this for the building of your kingdom. May you use it for your gospel to go to the ends of the earth. And Lord, may we offer up our hearts as we offer up our gifts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's sing the verse one more time. Is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Ooh. In whom of you will hear the cry of my heart? And we